verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and we want to take just a moment to invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you are in the area, maybe visiting, or you do not have a regular church home, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We are located 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That is 1 mile up Baird's Creek off of Highway 105 South. So just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits, probably no more than two, and headed towards Fosco on Highway 105 South. And then you come to Baird's Creek Road. It's on the right, and we are 1 mile up through there, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And so Sunday school, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. for all ages. Then 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service. Every Sunday, or every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And so we invite you to come. We'd love for you to come and be with us. And if not, when you think about us in your prayers, we'd love for you to pray for us. We try to remember our listeners in our prayers as well. But it is good to be here today. Good to have Noah in the radio studio. We appreciate him. He's my son. And we've been doing this several years now. I mean, time flies by, doesn't it?
It has. Maybe 4 years?
Something.
Right around in there?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but it is good to be here. And we do want to say how much we enjoy our and appreciate our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate everybody that listens in, and today we're going to continue our series. We have been, since August, taking a different individual, or few times we have looked at a group of individuals and their contribution or connection to the subject of liberty. And I have really enjoyed this. It sort of expanded my horizons, because if you listen in regularly, you know that we tend to revolve around or stay around the time period of the mid 1700s, the time period of the American Revolutionary War. But this has caused us to expand just a little bit. We've looked at a lot of different people in a lot of different time periods. And today we're going to go back to the time period of World War II. And we're going to look at a World War II hero whose name is Louis Zamperini. Now, until just about 6 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, somewhere around in there, I was not familiar with Louis Zamperini, but I'm a member of the local American Legion, and we get a magazine every month, and it has stories about war heroes. It's really a good little magazine, so I was reading that, the December issue, and it had an article in there entitled Unbroken, the Man Behind the Movie. Well, I'd never heard of Louis Zamperini, and I began to read the article. I thought at first it was talking about an old movie. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, black and white. This is something that's gone on in the past, and I don't know anything about it. Well, I read the article, and I found out that it's a new movie that's coming out. Well, I still didn't think very much about it. I thought, well, you know, it's not like a real movie like you go to the movies and see, because of the article and the way it was written, and it was talking about his Christian testimony and all these things, and I just didn't make the connection that it was talking about a full-blown coming out in the theaters movie. But that is what it was talking about. And so I read the article, and then just a day after that, I saw a commercial. And I told my wife, I said, that's the man I just read an article about. And so many of you probably already know this. And like I said, I didn't know. But Unbroken is the name of the movie, and it's being advertised. And I've seen seen a lot of advertisements and a lot of articles I've read since then. And this movie, Unbroken, is coming out Christmas Day. And I'm sure that you've probably heard it or seen it advertised as well. Well, that got me interested in this this story about Louis Zamperini. And from what I've learned a lot about his life and what went on, the making of the movie, Unbroken, a couple of articles I read talked about how that most movie producers have to try to find something to fill up the 2.5 hours. And with Louis Zamperini's life, trying to tell the story of his life, what they had trouble with is condensing and trying to tell his story, because actually his story could make three full feature movies. You study about Louis Zamperini and you have his life as a troubled teenager. He was an Olympian. He was in World War II. He was captured, a prisoner of war. I mean, he just has an amazing life story. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to try to talk about this. And we're going to have to do it in less than 30 minutes. But I want to begin today with a Bible verse. Now, I don't know. I've read some things about this movie that's coming out, and some people were upset. They're saying it's not going to tell about Louis Zamperini, the Christian, that it's going to be, you know, sort of not going to emphasize that very much. But if you do not tell the story of Louis Zamperini, the Christian, then you lose the power of the story of his life. Now, I want to begin with a Bible verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. And this verse to me sort of characterizes the life message of Louis Zamperini. And the Bible says over there, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." One of the main messages of the life of Louis Zamperini was about forgiveness and how important forgiveness is in a person's life. Mr. Zamperini, he's actually authored 2 books in his lifetime. And in one of his books, he said this, "I think the hardest thing in life is to forgive. Hate is self-destructive. If you hate somebody, you're not hurting the person you hate, you're hurting yourself. It's a healing, actually, it's a real healing," talking about forgiveness. And so how good that is, and a biblical principle there. Hate is self-destructive. If you hate somebody, you're not hurting the person you hate, you're just hurting yourself. And Louis Zamperini learned that lesson firsthand in his life. And if anybody had a good reason to hate somebody, Louis Zamperini had several good reasons in his lifetime. If you could say there's a good reason to hate somebody, but in his youth, and I'm just going to have to summarize this pretty quickly, but when he was a youth, his family moved from New York to California. And when he moved to California, of course, we're talking now in the 1930s in this country, late 20s, 1930s. And Mr. Zamperini, in moving to California, the kids, they made fun of him, just tortured him over his accent. They picked on him. They were mean to him. And they would try to make him mad in order to hear him curse in his parents' native tongue, you know, in Italian, that they just laughed and thought that was the funniest thing in the world. Well, of course, this tortured him. And long story short, his father bought some boxing gloves and taught him how to box. And Louis Zamperini, instead of being bullied, the thing turned around after a while and he began to, you know, really lay a hurting on some of these people. And he began to be involved in criminal activity, stealing things, stealing alcohol from bootleggers. He said one time it was easy to steal off of them because they couldn't self-incriminate. You know, it's during the times of probation, so they're not going to report that somebody's stolen their alcohol. But he got involved in all kinds of things like this. He's fighting. He's running with the wrong crowd. Well, his older brother saw that his younger brother, Louis, had a lot of potential, and his older brother helped get him involved in running, encouraged him to join the track team at the high school. And Louis Zamperini, after a while, you know, he saw the virtue in this and that he was on the wrong path, and so he got really involved in running and the track team, and he made the 1936 Olympic team. And so he went to Berlin, and he was involved in the 1936 Olympics and made such an impression over there that Adolf Hitler wanted to meet him and shake his hand. So that's pretty big deal, you think about somebody. Now, this is all before World War II. And so the Fuhrer over there, he wants to meet Louis Zamperini, and he did that, and he shook Adolf Hitler's hand. Well, he didn't win a medal in the 1936 Olympics, but he had a goal to come back in the 1940 Olympics. Well, we all know what happened. By that time, World War II was going on. So instead of Louis Zamperini going back to the Olympics in 1940, he joins the Army Air Corps during World War II. And Louis Zamperini was on a B-24 Liberator bomber as a bombardier. And they were in the Pacific. They were conducting a search and rescue operation when Louis Zamperini's plane went down in the Pacific Ocean. And at the time of the crash, 8 of 11 crew members were killed. So 8 of the men that he was flying with were killed immediately. 3 made it into a life raft. Louis Zamperini, and then the pilot, Phil Phillips, and then there was another gentleman. His name was Mac. I can't remember his full name, but anyway, the third one, Mac, he died after 33 days. But Louis Zamperini and Phil Phillips survived 47 days floating in the Pacific Ocean. Now, can you imagine? And just that story in and of itself is amazing, that you could survive for 47 days. And the way that they survived, Louis Zamperini was key to that. One article I read said he was sort of a MacGyver on the boat, and he was continually coming up with things they needed to do in order to survive. And they would catch rainwater in their rain gear, you know, because you cannot drink water out of the ocean, and how that they would catch birds that landed on the side of the raft and eat the birds, and just amazing how they even survived that long. Well, after 47 days, they were finally rescued. They had floated over 2,000 miles from the point of where they crashed, and wouldn't you know, who rescued them was the Japanese. And so Louis Zamperini goes from being a survivor of a plane crash to being a prisoner of war in a Japanese internment camp. And while he was there as a prisoner of war, he spent two years as a prisoner of war, and he was beaten sometimes on a daily basis. He was starved. He was diseased. He saw other soldiers put to death. In fact, he was kept in a pen where there was 8 other Marines that had been in there before him, and he spent his time memorizing those names. And all of those men had been taken out and executed, and he wanted to be able to tell who it was that was there before him. So just an amazing story. That in and of itself is an amazing story. But something about Louis Zamperini at this time in his life, he was not a Christian. But while he was on the raft and while he was a prisoner of war, he testified later several times that he had promised God that if God would deliver him and let him get back home, that he would turn to him and seek him and serve him. And two or three times while they were on the raft, they had run out of water. And Louis Zamperini and Phil Phillips had prayed, God, if you'll just send us water, if you'll let us survive, we'll serve you, we'll turn to you. Well, Louis Zamperini had done this several times. Now, after the war, Louis Zamperini comes home, and according to his own words, and this is all well documented, and like I said, I don't know how much of this would be in the movie or how much it won't be in, but that's neither here nor there. I wanted to share this with you today, but according to his own testimony, he tried to forget about the promises that he had made to God. Well, he's tormented. In our day, we would recognize that what was going on in Louis Zamperini's life, they've got a name for it, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And so he's really going through a hard time in his life. He turns to alcohol, and he begins to drink. He becomes an alcoholic. He is tormented every night by dreams of his captor, the Japanese guard over there. He became famous. He was known as the Bird, and I believe his name is pronounced something like Watabi or something like that. But anyway, this Japanese prison guard, he was just sadistic, and he tortured these soldiers, and he beat them. And Louis Zamperini, after the war, he keeps having these dreams that the Bird comes to him in the night and tortures him. And I mean, it's just eating him up. Louis Zamperini, now he's back home, he's married, he's living at home, but he is tormented every day by the memories of his experiences in the prisoner of war camp while he was in Japan. Well, Louis Zamperini, he becomes obsessed with trying to come up with some plan to go back to Japan and to kill the Bird, get revenge for all the torment and all the things that he had done. So he becomes obsessed with that. Well, his wife at the time, she's had enough. She's lived with this. She's tried to help him. She's done everything under the sun, and she wants a divorce. She tells Louis Zamperini, I've had enough, and I want to be divorced. Well, about that time, Louis Zamperini's wife goes to a Billy Graham crusade going on out in California in Los Angeles. And some of you that know the history of Billy Graham, you know that he's been an evangelist for many, many years. And especially in his younger days, he was known as a fiery evangelist. And maybe even still today, of course, we know he's well up in his years. But he'd go all over the country and hold these crusades. And so this is the late 1940s, after World War II. His wife goes to a Billy Graham crusade. She accepts Christ as her Savior. She comes home and she tells her husband that she's met Jesus Christ. And she says, because of that, she's not going to divorce him. Well, Louis Zamperini, he said that made him happy. You know, he didn't want to get divorced. He didn't want to lose his wife, so he was glad for that. But she kept on to him and on to him, wanting him to go to this crusade to hear Billy Graham. Well, finally, Louis Zamperini goes to hear Billy Graham. And the first time that he went to the crusade, now this was held under a tent, and, you just imagine this in your mind, 1949, he goes to this tent crusade. Billy Graham preaches the first night. He gets so mad at Billy Graham that he gets up and he leaves and he goes home halfway through the service. And Louis Zamperini, in his testimony, they said, why did you leave? He said, because Billy Graham was talking about sin and I knew I was a sinner. And so he went home. Well, again, his wife, come again. So he goes again. And he said that time when he went and heard Billy Graham, now this is just a night or two later, He goes back, he hears Billy Graham, and Billy Graham talks about that when people get to the end of their rope, they turn to God. And Louis Zamperini said that is that in his mind, that began to convict him, because he thought about how many times he had been to the end of his rope, he had turned to God, and he said he remembered being on the raft, he remembered being in the POW camp, and how he had prayed and told God if he had get him home, that he had turned to him and he would serve him. And he said that he knew that although God had not turned his back on him, that he had turned his back on God. And he said it broke his heart. And he went into, now what they would do after the Crusades, they would have a prayer meeting where people that wanted to have somebody pray with them, they could go into. And Louis Zamperini said that that was what brought him to the point. He went into the prayer room, and it was there that he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said he came out of there a brand new person. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he said from that moment on, everything in his life changed in just a couple of minutes. He said he went home after that meeting and he poured all of his liquor down the sink. And he said never again did the bird visit him in his dreams. The Lord miraculously delivered him from that torment that he was going through. I mean, here's a tormented individual, but he meets the Lord Jesus Christ and his life is completely changed. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Louis Zamperini became a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spent the rest of his life involved in some way or another in sharing his testimony, telling other people what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him. And he said the most amazing thing was the forgiveness, that where at one time he was completely consumed with hatred and anger and revenge and demons troubling him over all the things that he had been through, but how his life had completely been changed by the forgiveness that he found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I read the verse at the beginning, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And you go on, you read about the life story of Louis Zamperini and how he even had tried to reach out. He sent a letter to the bird, his former captor, and he tried to reach out to him and tell him, although that, you know, he had tortured him and taken away his dignity and his human rights and all these things, that he forgave him. Well, the bird, Mr. Watabi, he did not respond. He didn't want to have anything to do, but he tried to reach out. And so his life was changed by forgiveness. He started a foundation or a camp. It was called Victory Boys Camp, in order to help troubled youth like himself. So it's just a great inspirational story when you hear about the life story of Louis Zamperini. And I dealt with this just a few weeks ago when we were talking about the gentleman, Mr. Fushida, that had, and I played this, his testimony. He was the bomber that coordinated and led the attack on Pearl Harbor, and how that after the war he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he became an evangelist. And so there's just a lot of good stories about how, you know, these people were tormented, but they come to Christ, and then they want to share the good news. And I said this a few weeks ago, that there are actually two kinds of liberty. We talk about liberty every week, and we've not exhausted the subject in all these years. We've been coming with the Blessings of Liberty radio program. But we said, first of all, there's physical liberty, which we appreciate. We're thankful for our freedoms. We hear that many times. I'm thankful for America, that we have freedom, that we have liberty. We're talking about physical liberty. We're talking about the freedom to go down to the mall and shop, and you don't have to worry about a lot of things that they might worry about in other countries. You can go to church and worship the Lord according to your conscience. Or you cannot go to church if you choose to do that. See, we have freedom in America. This is physical freedom. We might say to go and to do as we please, but there is a greater freedom than that, and that is spiritual freedom. Now, Louis Zamperini came home from the war. He was liberated from a Japanese prisoner of war camp. He came home and he said one of the things that troubled him, why were all those other Marines executed? And he saw many of his friends put to death in that camp. Why did he get to come home? Why was he liberated? And so this was something that troubled him, bothered him. But he came home. America won the war. Well, he's got his liberty. He ought to be happy, right? I mean, we think about that. But that's not the way that he lived out, that's not the way he looked at it, I guess we might say, after the war. He was still captive. He was captive to his emotions. He was captive to his past. He was captive, according to his own testimony, to his sins. He became captive to alcohol and anger and depression and all of these things. And according to his own testimony, it was not until he found liberty in Christ that he became truly free. Up until that time, he was still a prisoner to his former life. So there is a physical liberty, but far more important than that, there is a spiritual liberty that is oh so important. Mr. Zamperini, he passed away this past year, July the 2nd, 2014. And so he did not live to see his movie. I saw an interview that his son, Luke, had given, and he said everything is in the timing of the Lord. And he said, if my father were still alive and getting all this attention at 97 years old, he said he would probably be, grouchy. He probably wouldn't like all of this attention. But I hope that the resurgence of the story of Louis Zamperini will cause others to look to the right place to find help and comfort in these troubled times in which we live. It's a great story, and more than that, it's a true story about what the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do in somebody's life and help them to find liberty. I just want to read the first paragraph to the article about Mr. Zamperini, and it said, 7 years ago, Louis Zamperini had just concluded a presentation on a cruise ship when a man in his 60s raised his hand and said, Mr. Zamperini, I was in your camp in 1957. Now, he's talking about the Victory Boys camp. He said, and several years later, I remember what you had taught me and told me. I came to my own decision to come to the Lord, and my life has been turned around. Zamperini's son Luke pauses as he shares the anecdote about Victory Boys Camp, which his late father established for troubled inner-city youths in 1952. Then another man gets up and says, Mr. Zamperini, I was in your camp in 1961. We saw my father's redemption and resilience all the time. So it's a great story, and I appreciate the life of those that have lived before us and the good legacy which they have left unto us. Well, we appreciate you listening in today. I hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next Tuesday or next Saturday, depending on where you're listening at this same time. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. That's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.